I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Nativity Stories.
Welcome to Prattleworld. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to another edition of Alternativity Stories, a month-long look at alternative stories set around the most wonderful time of the year. And thank you for coming back to us again, another edition in this most festive of months. And I am here today with not only a guest, also a dear friend, and my current new housemate. It's Matthew Catterall. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. Just finished work, so quite tired.
Quite tired. You're not the only one. I'm also bloody shattered.
Mate, we work long shifts, don't we?
We do.
We do work at call centres.
Big name companies, which will go nameless.
Go nameless.
They'll go nameless just in case people are listening and we get in trouble for slagging them off or something. So we're back on this little podcast.
Yeah, well, it's good to be here. I've been wanting to be on it for a while.
Yes. And how many podcasts have you listened to of Spider-Man the Secret Wars?
All of them.
Yeah.
Favorite was the one you spoke about, Thor.
With Finley Odinson.
Yeah, Finley. He was a good guy on it.
Top guest. Good friend of the show.
We need him back on.
100%. And I hopefully one day we'll get him back on to talk about something probably about the same length. Don't want to let him get bored or anything.
Yeah, no, we don't want to get him bored, do we?
We are here to talk about a alternative Christmas film. Now, you do quite like your mainstream Christmas film.
I do. To be fair, I'm not a massive fan of Christmas.
Fair enough.
But I do quite enjoy Christmas films, and I think it's because when I was a kid, my family Jehovah's Witness, so they don't celebrate
Christmas.
So I like the nice, warm, Christmassy feeling of Christmas. Even though I'm not a massive fan of it, but nice, warm, Christmassy feeling. It's good. It's good to see families get around because, again, I never see my family at Christmas.
But yeah, fair enough.
The standard Christmas album's good.
And it's always, and I think that's the thing about Christmas, is no matter where you are and what you believe, I think you can just get together with family and friends and just celebrate it however you feel is appropriate. You know, be it Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, you know,
all the other festivals of lights and other stuff.
So you know all the festive kind of holidays and stuff. But I think that's the most important. It's people and connecting with people and trying to make the best of very cold, bitter time of year, I think, is the best. But let's talk about the film that we're going to talk about. So we are here to talk about, it's a Shane Black written script, so you know it's going to be set at Christmas, because that's all he ever does. It's all he ever does. Almost all of his scripts are set at Christmas. I think even The Predator, did you see The Predator?
I've not watched The Predator in years.
No, The Predator, the recent one.
Oh, no, I've not. No.
I think that might be set at Christmas. That,
so
fair enough. That's fine. But yeah, majority of his, I think, Last Boy Scout, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Iron Man 3. You know, all these. Almost all of his scripts are set at Christmas. Don't know why.
Christmas fan.
Yeah, maybe you like Die Hard quite a bit.
Not a Christmas fan.
That's the controversy. Is it a Christmas film?
Bruce Willis says it's not a Christmas film. It's not a Christmas film.
Is it an alternative Christmas film?
No, don't get me started about what is a Christmas film.
Anyway, right, let's get past all that. Let's get past all that. So let's talk about the actual, you know, this is actually, we've had a fair few listener comments today from people that actually quite like this film. So it seems to be popular.
It was a good film. It was a good film.
So it's The Long Kiss Goodnight. So it's directed by Rennie Harlin, who famously directed the big Die Hard 2. For example,
good. Good film. I mentioned that last night, and I thought, yeah, okay.
I think you said one of the buildings looks like one from
the building the terrorists staying in Die Hard 2, right next to the airport.
That's right.
Yeah, it looks so similar. So it does look
probably the same.
Probably the same.
Could be. You know, same
cast and crew.
And I didn't know it was directed by the same guy. So if I caught that, I'm sure other people
And
I'm sure
eagle-eyed people. I tend not to know those details, unfortunately. I'd like to be a bit more eagle-eyed. Directed by Rennie Harlin, who's also directed the huge box office flop. I quite enjoy it, though. Cutthroat Island.
Never seen.
It's a big pirate epic thing. It's kind of very 90s. He's married Gina Davis as well. He's married to her not long after that. And then he made this film. It's like almost straight after, I think, that he started developing it. It's basically the story of Gina Davis, who's very lovable, very, you know, affable kind of actress in many of these things, like The Fly and various other films. She basically is kind of a homebody, kind of a wife and mother, the kind of standard, lovable, kind of small town. She says she was born a few years ago, but she's maybe in her 30s. And she's like, she had amnesia. She was discovered on a beach and started living a new life, has a whole life put together. And then, slowly but surely, she starts remembering that she was actually an assassin.
She does, as you do.
As you do. It's normal. That happened to me last week. You know,
I remember. Coming at me with a knife.
Yeah, I was like, chefs do this. Yeah. At you with a knife. Chefs do this and get fired and arrested. Maybe if you're not Gordon Ramsay, though, he's like, I could see him stabbing.
He could swear in front of the Queen.
Anytime I'm in a kitchen, it is a kitchen nightmare. So, yeah. I have to admit.
Not all the time. You do make some good nachos.
The nachos is good.
Is good.
A lot of people were like, someone said to me, like, well, I said my recipe for the nachos, and someone said to me, like, you don't do it that way. And I went, well, I do. This is how I do.
They are good nachos.
It was like, you don't warm it like that. You don't warm the, you know, the salsa or the sour cream. I'm like, I do it. And it works.
It does work.
It does weirdly work. And sometimes you've got to experiment now and again in the kitchen. Just see what happens. So Gina Davis. So she has a car accident, isn't she? There's that big, there's that drunk mayor who's like,
trying to grope her.
Well, it's not the only section of that film that's a bit creepy, but he's like, I'm drunk. And he's like, I can touch my nose. I'm not drunk. And she's like, put your arms down, you big dick. And then they run over a reindeer and you think, that's a bit horrible. But then the reindeer gets onto the roof of the car, starts kicking out the window, and he's like, kicking at him, kicks her in the face, kicks the guy in the face. And then they veer off the road. She's thrown from the car. She wakes up, blood everywhere, and she starts triggering kind of memories and stuff. Obviously, you know, that's science. I mean, if you bump your head and lose your memory, if you bump it again,
you get it back.
That's the rules. Those are the rules.
Just watching that scene, I've just passed my driving test, and I'm going to be buying a car very soon. Just makes me scared of driving.
To run over reindeer.
I'll be honest, we don't really get many reindeer in Manchester.
I've seen badgers and foxes in Disney.
There is a fox around the corner that makes weird sounds when it has sex, but
how do you know it's having sex?
Never heard a fox have sex.
No, that's not a standard thing.
We need to Google that sound.
I don't really want to. I don't want to Google that.
After this, right? No, first thing we're doing after we finish this podcast, Foxy, is Googling fox sex.
Foxy lane.
It's a weird sound.
Can you replicate the sound, please? Please do. How will I know it's the right sound?
We'll Google the sound later.
Google the sound, okay.
We're going to Google the sound.
That's what we use the internet for, ladies and gentlemen. We Google foxes having sex.
Well, I'll be honest, there's not much we can really Google. We've got porn block on, as we've both found out.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's bit.
I might have to look into that. Hello, Virgin. I don't want to remain one.
The scene was really good when she...
not a virgin.
She went headfirst out of the car. It was a good scene. And I think that was a scene as well. I realised I'd already seen this movie before.
Yeah.
When I was like 14 or something like that. I was like, this looks incredibly familiar. And I was like, oh, shit. Yes, I have seen this film.
It's very 90s, isn't it?
It is. It was a good film, honestly. It was good. From all the movies you wanted me to watch, I was like, oh, better see which ones.
And yeah, you're a little picky. You're a little picky.
I'm not a massive fan of scary films. Mm. I don't like scary films. I went to watch a film with, what's it called now? The one with the sharks and recently with a girl from Skins In who's moved over to Hollywood. Can't remember. Sharks is a big
Wait. Is that Crawl?
That's it.
That's not sharks. Those are alligators. Or crocodiles.
Crocodiles, sharks. So that's the one. So,
I mean, they're not the same, are they?
They're not the same. So, yeah, I went to...
I was thinking like Sharknado.
Well, I went to watch that in the cinema. But
it looked pretty good, though.
But well, good. I went to watch it, but it was a secret screening because I'm with my cinema card.
Okay.
And I got there. I sat down for 10 minutes, realised it was that, and then left.
All right.
So I'm not a massive fan of scary, make shit your pants jump out.
Fair enough.
You know what? I'm very happy with a average sci-fi and a comedy. So, yeah. But that's it.
Some sci-fis are scary, though.
That's why I don't really watch Predator, like we said earlier. I've seen Predator earlier, but not
to be
the new one.
To be fair, I think you could probably get away with Predator because it's very action-heavy. Mm. It's fairly action-heavy. It's same like Aliens and stuff like that. It's horror, but it's very action-heavy.
Do you know what I mean? With me... If I like a film, I'll watch it loads. If I think I won't like it, I just won't even give it a chance. I do need to, but like you've shown me films I've liked. In fact, you know what? I enjoyed that. Nathan, he's shown me many of a film. I was like, oh, I won't like it. Watch it. I was like, God damn you, I've liked that one.
Yeah. He'll also like trick you into seeing things. I remember we went to see a play and he didn't tell me the synopsis. He went, do you want to see a play? I went, yeah, sure, why not? Turned up and he was like, oh, by the way, it's a rape revenge play. Curtains open. Oh, no. No, this is going to be horrible and sad.
Typical Nathan with his rape.
Rape revenge films and plays. Thank you, Nathan, for that. It turned out, though, it was done very well and it was well performed. It was a lovely play, actually. I think it was called Sans Mercy, I believe. Also, you know, translated into No Mercy. But yeah, it was a very, very well, you know, structured play. And it wasn't like... you know, gratuitous. It wasn't like exploitation or anything. It was just that was just the story. It was a very tragic story. Back to the film we were talking about.
I was going to say, speaking about rape, wasn't there a scene in the film that was cut?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So apparently, Shane Black wrote I told this to Matt. I was vibing on the old IMDb while we were watching because I've seen it before. And it said that the original script was a lot darker and had a lot more kind of deep, darker backstories. Mm. And Mitch, who Samuel Jackson plays, who recently this year on Jimmy Kimmel, he said that this specific role in this film is his favourite role he's ever played.
See, right, he looks like he was enjoying himself.
Yeah, and it's not like him. I think what's nice about his character Mitch is he's got a lot of like idiosyncrasies and like, you know, little weird kind of isms and kind of he's kind of like a wheeler dealer type. He's kind of like tricking people out of money, and also like he's not like an absolute badass. Like Samuel Jackson is like, you know, an absolute badass in everything. But in this, he's like, he's kind of a bit of a nerd. He's a bit, you know, not like well practiced, or, you know, he doesn't know how to handle a gun, or, you know, he's terrified at the situation. There's a really good bit where there's a grenade and they have to throw themselves out of a window, Gina Davis, Samuel Jackson. And there's like an icy lake and Gina Davis shoots out a hole in the ice so they can fall and survive. and they're like, right, jump in this car, quick. He jumps in the car and Samuel Jackson was like, we jumped out of buildings. Like, that was the first thing he says. Like, it's probably what I would say in that situation. We just jumped out of building.
No, some good bits. You could have seen how he could have been a darker film.
Yeah. So I think they toned it down because, let's be honest, and a lot of the comments I've had earlier today have said, the film is a bit dumb. Like, it's a bit over the top. It's a bit silly.
But ain't all action films?
Yeah.
My favourite film.
90s. Yeah, exactly. 90s action films were just full of cheesy dialogue and cheesy ideas.
Great film.
Yeah, enjoyable, very enjoyable. And I mean, he wrote, like, Shane Black also wrote Last Action Hero, which made fun of the whole action genre.
Oh,
we
watched that recently. Yeah. Phenomenal. I can't believe that did not make any.
It works. It really does work as a film.
We said if that was made right now, that would blockbuster.
Yeah, it would do.
You could get all like the superheroes and everything, or all Marvel. And
I mean, if that was done now, if they remade that with The Rock, and it was about
that's what I said. The Rock could be perfect.
Do The Rock, you can do comedy, and do it with like do it as a kind of spin on the Fast and the Furious or something like that, or the modern action hero films like The Transporter or something like that. I think it would play because I don't think we were quite ready for
Last Action Hero. But I think nowadays we're ready for, like, you know, comedy takes on a genre.
Yeah, no, it's good.
But yeah.
Good film.
Yeah, so yeah, Sam Jackson, like, his backstory, he's in prison, he's been in prison, he's like, I'm never going back to prison, he says this to Gina Davis, I'm not getting involved in this shit, I'm not going back to prison, because it was horrible, it was a hellhole. And apparently in the backstory, there was a gang rape in prison of Mitch, and I think there was another more darker element to maybe Gina, I think it's Charlie, is it Charlie the assassin, and, oh God, what's her other name? Sam Kane, that's her. Sam Kane is actually an anagram of Amnesiac.
Ah,
there you go.
Did you Google that, or did you?
That was another IMDb pick. Love a bit of IMDb, me. So it starts off, and it kind of, she's in this parade, this Christmas parade, and people see her, like, people that have tried to kill her or are aware that she's a spy and she's not aware of it. So lots of things get her in danger, but her and Mitch basically go on the road to discover who she is. Mm. And slowly but surely, the old Charlie comes through, you know, you'll see her, you know, this is what chefs do this kind of thing. So they're chopping away, and she's chopping like mad, she's throwing knives, and and she's telling the little girl to be a soldier and be tough and just life is pain, you know, all that sort of stuff. And she's going on, and then she comes home, she's hiding in the treehouse, she's like, I knew she'd hurt her arm, but I didn't know it's fractured. And I'm like, and she's like, what happened to me? What's wrong with me? And then she, like, kills a guy who rocks up with a shotgun.
She fucks him. Oh, well, yeah, doesn't she?
Big time. It's like, but there's a great bit where she shoots a rocket at the wall and it just takes out the wall. And then she throws her daughter out of the hole of the house,
great.
And straight into the tree house across the way, like, almost seamlessly. Boom.
I'll be honest, as a father, I can imagine, I sometimes want to throw my kid through a wall.
Yeah, and, you know, and just see what happens.
See what happens to him.
You know, yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
But one don't like that.
Yeah. You don't need to tell her. You don't need to tell her you're throwing her through the wall.
You will tell her?
Yeah, probably.
Kids say everything.
Would he cry? Would he cry and tell
her? He cried out the weekend, mate, when I was beating him at FIFA.
Oh.
You know how hard it is to lose on purpose against a 9-year-old?
Well, I didn't lose on purpose. I lost.
Mate, I've been losing thumb wars constantly since he was like 4. You know what I mean? Since he 4.
Do you declare them, though? Or does he declare
them? I declare them. Right. And you know the circle game where you put the circle with your fingers under your waist, and if you do, you get punched?
Yeah.
Just losing that on purpose. I can see him do it, and I'm like, oh, no, accident. Oh, you have to punch me out. And he full-on punches you. Thing is, mate, he's 9. Wait until he's 18, cracking
you. Yeah, exactly. Face. He'll glass you next. You know?
Glass.
He'll just glass
you. He's from Wigan.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah. That goes out to all our Wiganites.
Wiganites.
You call them Wiganites? Wiganites?
I don't know.
What is the term?
They are Wiganers, yeah.
Wiganers.
Well, I'm a Boltonian,
I'm a Black Pudlian.
Black Pudlian.
That counts, doesn't it? That's how you call it. It's called Black Pudlian.
Such a shit. Anyway, go on.
No offense to Wigan, Bolton, or Blackpool, any listeners. Mate, we love you all.
We got out of their towns. We went to Manchester.
Now we live in Didsbury.
Didsbury.
Yes, we have superlative taste.
Mate, we voted Remain and Labour. We're okay.
Oh, yes.
Yes, as well.
Oh, God. No problem. What did you think of, like, kind of the action sequences?
Some really good action sequences. Yeah. They were awesome. Like you said, when she threw her daughter through the wall, bit stupid, but fun. I liked it. Good fight scenes, good choreography for all the fight scenes.
Yeah, really good.
Some good acting. Did like Brian Cox. He wasn't in it loads. Wasn't in it loads. But yeah, no, he had some good dialogue as well. But no, just a really good put together film. And you know what? They should either. It's been years since I brought it out. Mm. I was reading it as well. They were thinking about making a sequel.
Yeah.
And I don't see that doing that well if they brought a sequel, because it's been so long and it made loads of money. So
yeah, I think because it's a lesser known film. That it doesn't have the kind of, I don't think it has the, it doesn't have the audience that would necessarily go out and see a sequel. But I think if you remade it, because nowadays it's all about female led action movies.
We've got
Terminator, we've got Charlie's Angels, we've had Ghostbusters, that sort of thing.
What else was there? I went watching
Proud Mary, lots of kind of revenge stuff.
Salt, there was Salt, there was also that Russian,
Anna, yeah.
Anna,
Hannah.
That was not good.
Yeah, the TV show or the movie?
The movie.
Wow. I quite like the movie. I thought the movie was pretty good.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Did me watch it?
No, me and Josh. Me and Josh watched it. Me and Josh.
I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was going to be mainly like a female-led John Wick.
No, well, she's a kid, so it can't be.
exactly that kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, Black Widow's coming out. We've got Wonder Woman, all that. So I think now is a prime time to remake it. And I think you should remake stuff that's like lesser known that still has a small fan base, because you can expand that fan base, and the people that know about it can it go, oh yeah, but the original's really good, and you go, okay, I've never seen that. You know, I think almost like Ocean's 11, you should kind of remake almost slightly shit stuff.
Mm.
Like the original is supposed to be cool. I don't think I've even seen the remake, but the Rat Pack version with Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, all
yeah.
that, supposed to be a bit crap. And they may have remade it, and it's this whole franchise with spin-off theme. And again, Ocean's 12 or Ocean's, what was it, Ocean's 9?
Or yeah.
Sandra Bullock led it. It was like she's George Clooney's sister, kind of a heist thing that was... what was that other one? Widows as well. Lots of great stuff going on. There's The Kitchen as well. It's based on a comic book. Lots of stuff. I'm just reeling off things that, you know, may have had lesser kind of success. But I think with the right... Maybe Shane Black should direct this one. Maybe he writes it and directs it. There might be something to it. Maybe a different spin on it or something. Who knows? But yeah, it's a cool film. I think it's a cool concept. Apparently, they initially were going to try and... Now, this wouldn't happen. There'd be a lot of controversy about this decision, but apparently they were going to replace the female lead with someone like Sylvester Stallone or Steven Seagal back in the day. And I was just like, you'd lose all the interesting parts
of it. From what I saw, the film was perfect for a female lead. I think it was a really good film for that. Don't think it would have been the same.
I mean, it's just Bourne, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it was Sylvester Stallone or Steven Seagal, it'd just be Bourne.
Mm.
Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne Identity, all the Bournes. Again.
I think I've only seen two of them.
Bourne Again, Bourne, Bourne on the 4th of July, all the Bournes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just the same. Or Wolverine, or, you know, all these kind of like, oh, I've forgotten who I am. Who was I? Was I a bad person? Was I a good person?
Yeah.
You know? But this, I like the elements of, you know, we have the kind of stereotypical, like she's almost like this perfect 50s, the idea of the perfect woman, like in the 50s, you know, she's this happy homemaker, but she's also got a bit of edge. She doesn't like, she's not just like, whatever you say, John, or anything. She's like, you're being a dick now, or, you know, it's not just this soppy kind of stuff, but she is the idealized kind of, it's almost like the Madonna aspect of her personality.
She looks like Madonna in certain parts of it when she
well, reinvents herself, doesn't she? Yeah, much like Madonna.
Just like
Madonna. Yeah. But yes, I find it really interesting that she... And you kind of all like the performance is great. I think it's probably the best thing I've seen her in. She's in loads of great stuff, but I think I like how you slowly but surely see it kind of dripping in the old personality, like bit by bit. Like it's not like all of a sudden, bang my head and I'm a different person.
Mm.
I
think it's bit by bit, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
she gets it full, like bit by bit, she's starting doing different things. And then I think it clicks.
It's almost like
when she's on the water wheel being tortured. Yeah. And she sees Brian Cox dead. Sorry, spoiler.
No, go
on. Yeah, spoiler.
Spoilers for this over 20-year-old film. Yeah.
I'm sorry, 20 years. Carried it. And then after that, and then she gets rescued Samuel Jackson, gets him in a hotel.
Yeah.
Like a love hotel. It's like a big love hotel. It kind of looks like a slightly more 80s version of the room they had in Dumb and Dumber when
Harry
and Lloyd were in that room.
There's a lot of kind of like neon and stuff.
Yeah, there was, wasn't there? And then all of a sudden, he was like, when he wakes up, he's got slightly bleeding gunshot. Yeah,
you love this.
And it's brilliant, my favorite. He's like, oh, it's just like, oh, you're bleeding. Hey, look at this. Paul's addressing out. Start bawling naked.
Yeah.
Like, what the? And then rips about the dog. Well, that distracted you. Yeah. It was like,
it's not even bleeding. It's even worse than that. She goes, oh, you're seeping.
Well, we're all seeping if we saw that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, she's like, and she's pretty hench in it as well. It's not like she's done the training.
Yeah, you can tell she's
like, she's not, yeah. Apparently as well, her husband, the director, actually, during that water torture scene as well, they actually trained her, like, to hold her breath longer, like, to see how long she could hold her breath.
Do you think he was just trying to kill her slightly?
Who knows? Who knows what their marriage entails?
Right, they are divorced now.
But yeah, so it's really interesting to see that. And I like again the skills that come out and the personality and her interaction. Like Mitch for me is the best character in it. Like Samuel Jackson is the best character. He's always the best part of most films. But I think his portrayal, his interaction, because he starts off and he's like, oh, well, you're this kind of, you know, because he's like, oh, she's the amnesia chick. You know, doesn't really care. It's the job. He wants some money. And he starts to kind of, you know, you can respect her, like her. And then she makes this change. And, you know, he says something like, I haven't got laid since, you know, sweets were worth a cent or something like that. And he's like, I think you're just trying to forget your family, forget. You know, she was like, I never had a choice. She had a choice to have that baby. I never had a choice because she was like 2 months pregnant when she had her accident. Yeah. Or someone tried to kill her and she forgot, you know, fell in the lake. The only problem, I think, the only one of the letdowns of the film, which is kind of, it's a shame, but it's kind of the CG. Mm. The CG they use for kind of the dream sequences and the flashback.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit ropey.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I wasn't a massive fan of that.
No. I don't think you necessarily needed it.
It felt like they were in the real world, in the Matrix, with how the clouds were.
Yeah.
So that's what I felt. It wasn't brilliant, but do you know what I mean? It was what? Film came out in 1996. Okay, yeah. 95, 96. Yeah. It's fine. It was fine back then for the CGI. Nowadays, if you needed CGI, you wouldn't be able to tell it
from
the real
world. Yeah,
it was fine. Yeah, I agree with you, though, on that one.
Yeah, I think that was the only bit that kind of went, yeah, doesn't really. Like the action sequences work and the staging. I love the bit where she's trying to outrun the cars in the hometown. She's just picked up her belongings. She's had to go back to the town. And they found Mitch and they're chasing him. And they've got an assault rifle, M16, they're shooting at him and he's trying to get away. And she puts on the ice skates and it's just like, zing, zing,
yeah,
zing.
Yeah.
She's like, and she's skating in there and she's got this big like Desert Eagle and it's just like, bam, bam, bam.
She was badder.
Yeah. Such a cool little action sequence. And they're quite like original kind of action sequences. Like, you know, and I think you can kind of, I think with the ice skating, you kind of, because I think in a way people like, not myself, but a lot of people can feel that ice skating is not a very masculine thing to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it is, like, but I mean, it's cool. Like, I would turn it.
I can't.
So it's like, if like, right, you've got one skill that I can give you, and it's going to be ice skating. I wouldn't turn it.
No, exactly. Right,
but yeah, it's not very masculine.
Yeah, either, I mean, there's obviously like the ice skating, like competitive ice skating, is people consider it like on the whole, you know, not myself, but on the whole, people might consider it not a masculine thing. So I think. You know, if we did see Sylvester Stallone ice skating, you might think, okay, well, this is a bit weird. Well, Steven Seagal ice skating. I don't think you'd even see it anyway. I don't think they'd do it. Because they'd be like, oh, tough guy.
Yeah.
Tough street man. No, don't do that. But I think it's a really cool action sequence. I think it's really interesting. I like the bit where they're locked in the freezer with the girl, the little girl.
That's cool. I think, that bit, I think from that bit of the film, I was like, right, I remember more from here. Because when I watched it, I must have been like 13, like 14.
Yeah.
I remember it was like, right, the doll's head, she put some like kerosene in or something like that. And I was like, there you go. And I remember when she was trying to get the flame. The little spark.
Sparks. So he's like, give me a spark, give me a spark. Yeah.
She's breaking down because she's like, I'm going to die. Mm. And then her daughter, when her mother's been trying to get a spark for 25 minutes, is like, oh, by the way, I've got some matches.
should have mentioned that. I mean, we're really cold now, but I should have mentioned that maybe.
Sorry, keep them in case. Sorry. Oh, what was it? She has them so she can light her candle.
A light her mum's candle,
exactly what I said to my parents when I got caught smoking.
Do it to light my your candle.
Never smoked, by the way. That was a cool bit. And then just a bit before that, Mitch is like, I'll be down the hall when you want to save me.
Yeah.
I'll be a few minutes.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Yeah.
And then she starts the spark and it sets off this big old drum. And Mitch is about to get torched. She's like, you can have the knife or you can have the gun. And
I'll kill you with a gun or the knife. Then the explosion. And he gets blown out of another building.
Again, this is dumb.
Absolutely ridiculous.
He gets blown out of the... Not only does he get blown up, it's like the explosion comes upwards, shoots it, like he's got... He's still in the chair, blown out of the building, through like this motel sign, this massive motel sign directly, and then hits a tree, falls down, and the second he hits the ground, picks up the knife that was in the chair and throws it directly at somebody's head. Stupid, ridiculous
throw.
And I was like, throw. Yeah, and he's like, and I was like, I wouldn't even know where I was to throw a knife, let alone, you know, be able to do it with such accuracy.
Mate, when I wake up sometimes, I don't know where I am. I'm in my own bed.
Yeah. So. I know. I hear you go, what?
What? I don't know. Huh? I shout, okay, Google.
Yeah. Okay, Google, where the hell am I?
Oh, don't say that. Google's myself.
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help.
Thanks. Thanks for helping us with this podcast. That was a guest spot by that person. Let's say it again.
Just so we got, we've got one in the living room.
Yes, in case you heard that. Not involved in this podcast. Shut up. Keep your mouth shut, you machine. This is the Rise of the Machine. This is what happens.
Now, looking back at it, Rise of the Machine, actually not that bad. No, I'm okay with it. Yep.
Terminator 3.
Yeah, you know what? Looking back at it now, with all the bad ones it brought out.
True. I've not seen the newest one.
But again, very quickly on this one, didn't mind it. I actually thought it was quite decent for what it was. Yeah. So
it's not got, not people have got a lot of opinions on it. It's very...
Lost so much money.
Yes.
Yeah. So much money.
I don't think we're going to see...
Just be done with it now. Kill it. Put it out of its misery. Leave it. 20 years later, reboot it. Just stop it with Ollie.
We're not going to get
rid of Ollie with it. Love him, but he's too old now.
Too old now.
How can you get a robot, a cyborg, that is gaining weight?
Well, that's the thing about Terminator, isn't it? It's
living tissue.
Living tissue over the endos or exoskeleton.
But you can't eat.
Yeah, true.
Cannot eat. He's a robot at the end of the day under that. So.
But no, he's got the bits, hasn't he? He's got the bits.
No. So in the film,
is it just skin? Over?
Just skin. No organs. So in the film, there's actually a bit where they say, well, how has she not known when you've not had sex in 20 years or something like that? Because he's evolved. Sentience or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, never have, but she knows what I am. So anyway, so
she knows he's a robot.
Yeah, okay. I'm not gonna spoil it or whatever. No. You need to watch it. I found it was decent. So
it's not, well, he's not a robot, he's a cyborg technically.
Cyborg.
You know what I mean.
So what else, who was a bad guy in the film?
So the bad guy, he's an English actor, I can't remember his name. It's called Perkins, I think.
Should we Google?
You Google him. That's why we have it. But he's got a very forced American accent in it. But the other guy, I think he's called, I can't remember the smarmy guy, the really smarmy guy, who's the spoilers, the father of the little girl, of Gina Dix.
Yeah, Leland Perkins, Patrick Malahide. So yeah, from Reading, good job.
Told you.
Yeah, you know, this is it. You trained to be an actor, man. I didn't. I don't know all these things. You know, too many.
I just know it because I've seen him in something else with a convincing English accent and not so convincing American accent in this one. And the other guy, I do like the other guy who's like, he's got some great cutaway kind of throwaway lines, like dialogue and stuff. There's like, what was that one where it was like, just some stupid lines. He's like, oh yeah, he saw something disturbing on TV. Yeah, I know, it's called Baywatch Nights.
Did he say that?
Yeah, you
missed
that.
No, I didn't miss it.
Yeah, he's like, I know, it's called Baywatch Nights. Baywatch Nights was the supernatural Baywatch show.
What?
Yeah, do you not remember this?
No, I remember they made like a...
Late 90s spin-off. And it was David Hasselhoff, and he was kind of like, because I think Buffy was popular at the time, so they were like, "We've got to keep it going, so we're gonna do, you know, Baywatch Nights."
It's a bit weird. Why would you do that? I was always confused with Baywatch anyway, simply because they're Coast Guards, so they don't solve crimes.
Have you seen the newest film? Because they say that like every
single film. I actually didn't mind that.
I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
That's what it should have been.
Cool. And I'll tell you what. Let's take a little break, and we'll come right back.
Cause I'm a bad motherfucker. Stay quiet and drop the rifle. How'd you find us? There may be many reasons not to kill you, but among them is not that you'll be missed by NASA. I found the address, no quote, between the address of a topless bar and the picture of what looks like a man's penis.
That's a duck, not a dick.
Okay, we're back talking about The Long Kiss Goodnight. So I'll end this podcast by giving you one of those as well, Matt.
Oh, God.
That's,
the thing is...
That's how we work.
As
that's
long
how we
as
roll
I'm
now.
Awake this time, because you being in my room...
That never happened. There was always consent involved. There was always consent.
I can't consent. Right, I'm sorry. Always if you go, Matt, does it smell like rehypnol to you?
Never said that.
Okay. Well, what sort of house do we live in?
I know it's
a laugh a minute. We do
hive of scum and villainy.
We do have to drink quite a lot. As
we are drinking now.
We are having some very nice beers. I'm having a Pedigree Amber Ale,
and I'm having a Lancaster Bomber Amber.
Not just standard. Carly,
much like yourself, it's full bodied. So full bodied.
Fuck you. I wish I could say just like you. This is balding, but
it's balding and a prick. But yeah, so back to the film. One of like Samuel Jackson's best kind of little kind of tricks and tropes in this is that he sings like the 12 bar blues to make him remember stuff. So he's like, da 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 da. Putting my coat on the chair. Putting my gun on safety.
Get really annoying. Really fast if one of us did that.
I'm going to do that all the time now. Every time I'm going to close my door.
Your room.
Flush the toilet.
You've been doing that anyway.
Sometimes you forget and you've got to do these little memory things.
3 a.m. Right, you go for a pee, you don't flush.
That's a non-courtesy.
I'm sorry, just for your listeners, can we just check? I appreciate it, but just flush the toilet.
Right. I will. I just wanted to make sure.
To be fair, you only did it twice. You only did it twice. We've only just moved in, and you only did it twice. And I am a very light sleeper.
Yes.
For a very loud snorer, which is quite weird. That.
Yeah, you are.
But I do wake myself up with my snoring.
I'm the same though. I am the same.
And you didn't want to wake me up, so I appreciate that. But yeah. Since we covered that one, and you
were good.
We're fine.
We have our own, you know, idiosyncrasies, much like Mitch.
We've been mates for years.
It's fine.
I don't even remember where I met you.
I will say this. We did. I met Matt. He was known as Knobhead Matt for a while.
Okay. I just got to recap. Nathan made that name.
He did. So we blame him. But he was known because there was a lot of Matts in our lives, to be fair, at the time. Nathan's brother, and there was a few other Matts. There was a couple of actor Matts as well at the time. So I can understand why he wanted to differentiate. But over time,
but handsome Matt, it never caught on, did it?
No, handsome Matt doesn't.
Handsome Matt.
You can't pick your own nickname. You think I picked Alien Ed when I was at high school? And you think I picked that nickname? I went, oh, you know what?
Well, teachers shouldn't be calling you that.
Yeah, no, they were just horrible, disgusting. Nobody picks their nicknames; you just get them. You don't get that luxury. You know?
I picked mine when I was a kid.
Yeah, go on. Roy. What was it? Roy.
Yeah, Roy.
Rob Roy. Roy of the Roy. Rovers.
All that Coronation Street with a kid.
Roy. Just Roy. Just Roy.
Good day, mate. Good day.
I don't know. I don't know what I'd pick.
I'll be honest, Alien Ed is quite good for you. So.
Triangle Ed was one as well.
Triangle Ed. Why can't I be...
Anything that had a giant head. I don't know why, but people kind of... And now that's kind of like my...
I've got a massive head. I was never called Alien Ed.
True. I think that's just your ego, though, isn't it?
I'm quite...
You're humble.
I am very humble. I'll be honest, you know when the government were doing the, who should we put on the back of the 50? I put myself forward.
Of course you did. So humble.
I'm a good person. I even complained and got a Deliveroo advert taken off TV just because the woman on it annoyed me.
Yeah, fair enough. There's a lot of ads that annoy me, you know, but I don't go and ball,
mate,
you know,
you, if Nathan,
trading standards.
If Nathan Richard Smith got an advert gig,
I'd get it back straight away.
I would get it.
Who's that annoying overactor? Who is that?
Can't wait. One day I'll get them. Anyway, so yeah, what would we say?
We're trying to talk about this film as best we can. What are the kind of favorite kind of character moments did you have in it? Kind of lines you find funny, or maybe even touching moments? You know,
touching moments. Yeah. People I love, none of them. You know what I say? I liked a lot of people. Didn't love anyone personally. But the one thing, the one person I hated was that the English Reading guy. What was his name again?
Perkins.
Perkins. Yeah. What a prick. Hated him. Absolutely hated him.
Well, he was doing it, they call it a fundraiser, don't they? The whole plot is him, he's creating a terrorist action. You know, he's got a frozen guy in a car. They're going to set it off at the... So the finale is at the American-Canadian border.
On Niagara Falls, which is a major crossing into two big cities from Buffalo / Niagara.
Security must be crazy.
Yeah, massively. Really big security. And then in the end, there was fuck all Canadian security.
There was no single Mountie.
There was no Mountie, no police, no one, no Canadian border official. And I said, that weirds me out, considering at work last week we watched Border Force and we saw an American guy get arrested because he had a handgun in his car. And according to him, it's okay, I'm carrying a permit, but the Canadian police have to stay. That's for America. You're in Canada, fucking moron.
You idiot.
Arrested him straight away.
At least he was honest.
At least he was honest, but a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So he did that. And why on the one of the major crossings into Canada from the USA was there not one single border official? You speak about Trump wanting a wall across Texas.
Yeah. But you've got to remember, this is
a wall blocking off Canadians.
You've got to remember, this is a pre-9/11 world as well.
You still should have fucking border officials. It's not an open border. It's not the Schengen zone.
I mean, what time is it? Is it like 4 a.m, 3 a.m, something like that? That's silly.
It annoyed me.
But again.
It did annoy me as well. I mentioned it at the time.
It's frustrating. But yeah, it is one of those kind of inaccuracies in the film. I kind of didn't really understand it because it was kind of, there's a timer on the bomb. There's a bomb in this truck. There's another truck that has the car in it with the dead terrorist or the frame. They're going to frame this frozen terrorist on it. There's a timer, but also there's a temperature gauge.
And I also thought it was a chemical bomb as well. And when it blew up at the end, if it's a chemical bomb,
It's going to kill everybody.
It's going to kill fucking.
But it was all. It was just an explosion. It was just a general explosion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unless it was like a napalm.
Did we miss something?
Maybe. Maybe we weren't paying attention. But please tell us if we did miss the plot specifics.
Yeah, because I found that weird. Because I thought a chemical bomb, it exploded, and I can get that. And maybe the big explosion spreads the chemical.
Why does it get colder the closer you get to Canada? Like, I know Canada has more, like, but if you're on the border anyway, surely it's going to be roughly the same temperature.
It's like when I go to Stockport from Manchester to work, I get freezing as soon as I cross to Stockport. It's about 10 degrees. They're colder.
But surely if there's a, like, why have a timer if it's a temperature thing? And then also, you know, why have one or the other? Surely one or the other would be fine. Like, and who's to say, if it's a temperature thing, that's probably worse because it's going to go off if you get, someone's like, let me get to safety.
Yeah.
You might not even get to the border before it goes off.
No, you know, I'm complaining about it, but really good ending part, right? It was an action film.
Yeah.
Forget about it. So, the one thing that annoyed me was the border patrol and
border
patrol.
Zero border patrol.
But I was like, that was the one thing that really frustrated me.
And I mean, there didn't seem to be, like, you were right, there didn't seem to be anybody that wasn't working for the CIA in this. Like, at the end, they were like, right, help me. She's screaming for help with a child. She gets shot at.
Why didn't they help her?
They're like, we won't help you. We're not going to help you. And then Mitch comes to save the day.
And then they all of a sudden, like, right, get him.
Yeah. I think it's a good finale. I really like the bit where they're in the helicopter, they've got the big rifle, and he's already fallen down into the sewerage area, which again looks a bit like all the falling into like water. Apart from the bit where they fall out of the train station into the kind of frozen lake.
That looked like Stoke.
Yeah. Pretty much. It did look nice.
It looked like Stoke.
I used to live not far from that train station. So, yeah, and it kind of just, he looks like he falls in water. He's like, oh, and he kind of disappears kind of shoddily. And he's like, oh, I'm fine, actually. I'm good. Like, he wouldn't survive that. There's a lot of kind of like, you wouldn't, Samuel Jackson wouldn't survive this, wouldn't survive that, get shot several times. It is silly. It is stupid and dumb. But I really do enjoy it. I really like the story. I like there's enough kind of good character acting. There's good kind of nice moments. And like Gina Davis is clearly like, she's trained.
Trained.
Even that bit when she takes the shot, you see that bit where she fills the shot, rolls it.
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Rolls it across her face, takes the shot, rolls it across the other side of her face and drops it almost in one smooth action. And I'm like, that's cool.
I wonder how many takes that took.
You know, I don't know. And I don't know how, like, she did really well considering the, like, the water must have been warm. It never is in these films. The water scenes are never, like,
yeah, because
like,
he's been there all day, numerous takes.
Exactly. Yeah. You're gonna freeze after a while. And, you know, and again, the running around in the cold, in the snow, it's not, you know, it doesn't look like fake snow to me. It looks pretty real. But yeah, like, she's you know, hench, she's skilled, you know, she's an absolute badass. And I would like to see something like a remake possibly, or some sort of sequel.
As long as she's like, good, you know what it's like with remakes. You get really worried if they're going to be shoddy and bad, and some are. Like we
very much so.
Yeah, like female-led remakes, such as like Ghostbusters. It's not because they were women.
No,
the film was dreadful.
It was a bad,
really bad film.
I agree.
Really bad film.
It was badly written.
Or maybe I've heard people say, conspiracy theorists who said. Yeah. They made the film so bad to get everyone buzzed up for the new one.
That's quite an expensive promotional.
You know
campaign.
What I think about conspiracy theories? I think they're all fucking stupid. Point out logical flaws in every single one of them.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay. Yeah, that does make sense.
Fair enough.
Like I say, I hope if they do remake it, it's good and remakes it in its how it was this one.
Yeah.
How this one was.
Like for me, when I turned off from the Ghostbusters remake. When the Chris Hemsworth character went, he basically holds his ears and goes, "Oh, that's so bright."
I don't even remember it. I've watched it once.
I was just so like, bad. I said to myself, "Nobody is that stupid. There is literally nobody in the world that goes, oh, that's really bright and holds their ears." You know, I don't care how intelligent you are or what kind of problems, mental problems you might have. Nobody is that stupid.
Yeah.
It's an instant reaction. It's not something you think about. You don't go, that's bright, I'll cover my ears.
Yeah.
You don't think that you just cover, you instantly close your eyes and cover your eyes.
Yeah.
It's a response. It's like a, it's an instinct.
It's an instinct. So when you're kid, like Finley, you woke up this weekend and he was like, Daddy, can I play on my Xbox at like 6:45? I was like, yeah, if you want, you're up now, fine.
Yeah.
And he turned the TV on and was like, oh, it's really bright. And
exactly.
Like, he's nine. You're not going to get a 30-year-old who's like...
Exactly. Nobody gets through life that far and as handsome and as, you know, beefy as Chris Hemsworth is. And a lot of people were like, he's like, oh, he's the funniest thing in it. And it's like, I was like, the comedy is like... And this is like, I loved Spy as well, from the same director, same writer. I loved it, but it just, I think that Ghostbusters just smacks of like studio interference, like a lot of these new movies do, smacks of studio interference. So I hope the new one's good. I hope it's going to be fun. It looks like it's going to be fun.
From the trailer, so happy.
You know, there's one thing that I think they haven't done that they should do, which is like make a Ghostbuster a ghost.
Yeah, it could be.
You know what I mean? So I wouldn't be surprised if in this one, like this is my angle, is that they actually have all died.
Yeah.
And then they do come back, but they're ghost versions of themselves. So they come back as ghosts.
But would the ghost be hunting the ghost, or would they be hunted?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. But I think that'd be a nice, like, even if one of them just came back as a ghost, I think that'd be pretty cool.
You know, if they remade this now, who would be the female lead in?
Oh, good question.
Who would? Should we say someone up and coming? Should we say someone already established?
I'd like to say, I really like Florence Pugh. She was in Midsommar.
Oh, yeah.
She's in...
I've seen it, but I don't remember.
She's in Midsommar. She's going to be in the new Black Widow movie as Yelena Belova, who is basically was in the comics like a replacement Black Widow.
Yeah.
Younger, fitter, stronger, and a blonde with a midriff showing because it was the 90s.
Yeah.
So it was all about the midriffs.
Well, I wouldn't show my midriff now.
No, probably. Me neither. Me neither. yeah, she's really good. I think in Midsommar, like, I'm not a massive fan of that film, but that film did make me a fan of her.
Yeah.
In also, Fighting With My Family, she plays Paige.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's her as well. And I think she's a real up-and-comer.
Would you say she's too small for the role, though?
She's small, but again, I don't... It's like... Scarlett Johansson isn't big either.
Gina's 6 foot in real life.
Tom Cruise is not big either.
But he's a wanker.
The American listeners understand what wanker means.
Yeah, well, we do have American listeners, a lot of people from LA.
Cunt.
they know what that word means. Wanker in English means...
Masturbator.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with the act, which I imagine most people are, not us at the moment.
So, why did you say that?
But I think she's good. I think she's good, and I think she's got the acting chops to do it. I also think she's got the physical prowess and the look.
Well, she must have trained for the fighting with my family.
Yeah, exactly.
To practice. Page. Yeah, yeah.
And I think she is an up and comer, and I think after Black Widow and all these other movies she's been in, she's going to really go places. And I think it'd be fun. She is kind of playing, you know, the character in this movie in Black Widow anyway. But if she wanted to do her own thing, I think it would be a nice spin. Like you could do, like maybe skew it a bit younger, maybe.
Would you still have Samuel earn it? He's not aged. I don't know if he looked old as fuck back then or he still looks like that.
Well, he only really started his acting career in his 50s anyway.
Yeah.
Like late 40s, early 50s.
There's still time for us, mate.
Yeah, there is still time. Same with Alan Rickman as well. I don't know. Maybe you get somebody else. I think you have to get somebody else now. I think it'd have to be, if it's a total remake, like an absolute remake, who would I get? Not Idris Elba. Idris Elba's in bloody
hell. No. What's his name from Serenity? The name I can't pronounce.
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's as close. That's as close as I'm going
to get. Right. Everything I've seen him in, he's been phenomenal.
He is really good. He's a fantastic actor. But I think somebody who's got a bit of comedy chops as well, I think, maybe.
Richard Ayoade. Just get him into it.
Yeah. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? That'd be something different.
Yeah, it'd be different.
But he'd have to be something. He'd have to be more like in. I think he'd have to be more in line with who he is. Like he's a bit.
Yeah, you could
he's a hacker or something.
Like you can tell, like in the IT crowd, great show. Love that show.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
And you can tell Moss is him. So yeah. For any of the listeners who've never seen the IT crowd, please Google and watch.
Google the UK IT.
UK.
IT
crowd. I've seen the episode.
US pilot.
Yeah. But the US pilot, really weird, just a shot-for-shot remake of the British rock, but just doesn't make sense if you're Americans in it. Yeah. And it's not because they're Americans. It's just our humour is ridiculous. Obviously, silly,
so much sarcastic.
Bizarre, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't... Yeah. It's so much different. So,
I always find that quite interesting. Like, culturally, like, drama is the same, you know. Tragedy, drama... You know, action movies and stuff, like you can understand if you watched, like, you know, even a martial arts movie, you get from anywhere in the world, you can kind of understand the story, you can kind of understand the pacing, you can, even if you don't understand what's being said or what's being done, you can kind of still understand what's going on. With comedy, it's very subjective, so it's very much like where you're based. So, like, I remember I did a sketch show with Nathan and Scott and everybody. These other actors and guests I've had on the show or will have in the future. Friends, good friends. So we did a show and I invited all the Polish people I worked with, and they really enjoyed it. But they were like, we don't get a lot.
Which show?
Oh, years ago. We're talking 2000. I don't think you were about. But you were a friend. You were in the. You were in the.
I didn't exist. I just one day
existed.
I did exist.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I'm sure you've existed. But it was probably a lesser life, and you probably weren't enjoying yourself as much. So
I don't know. I used to be thin, mate.
Really? Oh my god!
Mate, I'd go through Facebook pictures.
I don't remember this.
I've got fat in 3 years. I used to be a bit chunky, and then I got a job that way. It means I sit down all day.
I have the problem as well.
You do as well, mate. You know,
no, it's coming. It's coming.
You used to work being stood up on your feet, serving sandwiches.
Yeah,
and now we only do. I walk to the bottom of the street, catch the bus, walk up a flight of stairs, and I'm in my office. It's even worse because we've got a cafe in my office on the third floor. I walk up one flight of stairs, get a sandwich, walk back down, and sit down at my desk.
That's pretty much me. And I think I knew the second I hit 30, my lovely metabolism that I've had, all these, I've been very lucky. to keep me all nice and slim. Yeah, it's not working.
Love the 25-year-olds I work with going, you need to lose weight. I'll never get around. Wait for it.
There was a bit of karma because I saw a guy I hadn't seen. I used to like make fun of him for being a bit porky on the, you know, a little bit, you know, hefty here and there. And he was like, the first thing he said to me was like, "You got fat." And I was like, "You shaming me? Stop shaming me."
There's pictures of you in your teens, right next to us. Yeah. Not teens,
teens.
University time.
I'm still bald.
You had more hair though.
Yeah,
which is weird. You were balding, but you had more hair. You've just give up now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You look better now because now
really?
You're trying too hard to keep what hair you have left there.
I'm trying too hard.
But now you look a very distinguished character.
We've not even talked about this film very much.
It's a good film.
You know what? Let's talk about what everybody else thinks. How about that?
Go on then.
Got all that. Because I think we've talked about the film. It's fun.
Will you pull up your Twitter and Facebook?
It's a cool action. It's a cool action film. I think it's fun. I think it's well written. I think the dialogue is really sharp, fun. I don't think it's one of Shane Black's best, but I also don't think it's his worst either. I think it's a nice stab, but it's definitely enjoyable. It's an enjoyable romp. If you fancy a female-led action movie from the 90s with Samuel L. Jackson, Brian Cox, and various other actors, Gina Davis included, you know, it's really good, really fun. Great set pieces, great dialogue, great character moments. It's great. It's fun, but it is dumb. It's silly and dumb, but that's what you kind of want.
Action films should be silly and dumb.
I think so.
Action films.
Very tongue in cheek.
Stupid. We know it's not going to work in real life. At the end of the day, Indiana Jones put himself in a fridge, kind of like Boris Johnson.
Yeah. Not as heroic.
Fucking blow that fridge up. nuke it. Yeah. Indiana Jones. Someone nuked and he survived. Absolutely ridiculous. Die Hard tied a fire hose around him, jumped himself off the building, mm-hmm. and I can't remember where I watched it, but they did a test on what would happen. It would snap him in half. But these are the things. They're ridiculous, but they're fun. I like an action film, but even though I love an action film, I can only ever watch them when I'm like in the mood. But again, even though I say that, I wasn't in the mood for an action film last time. I was like, which one? I don't want to watch it. But I said I'd do the podcast, so
you did.
We watched it. I enjoyed it.
That's good.
And you, even though you moaned, I was on my computer too much.
Yeah, I did.
My MacBook.
Because I wanted you to
pay a lot of attention.
I know. It was very fair enough.
I was just trying to find a car insurance quote. You know, you're going to want to lift to work one day.
Eventually,
yeah. So, good.
I need as much exercise as I can get. As we've discussed, I need to walk to work.
No, mate, I'll be giving you a lift. You'll be doing less than 1,000 steps a day. I will meet you outside your
office. Tempt me with these things.
So some really good parts of it. You know what? To be fair, there wasn't many parts I didn't enjoy. The parts I didn't enjoy is one. Isn't because they weren't good, but it's what sort of person I am.
Yeah.
Like the guy, can't remember his name again. The bad guy, Perkins, was it?
Yeah. Talking to the president.
Yeah, talking to
very stuffy boy.
Yeah. No, what's that about? Saying I'm going to kill your kid, in essence, and I'm just like, I can't handle it. When I see something like that,
violence against children.
Yeah, I does my head in.
Another one I was going to suggest to you, which I didn't decide to go with, was it's a alternative Christmassy kind of holiday movie. It's set in New Year, technically.
Yeah.
It's called The Children, and the children get a little virus, and it makes them go insane and try and kill their parents, and the children and the parents die in very violent ways.
I think I know what you're on about. Yeah.
I think one of them looks a bit like your son, so I thought maybe that's not the coolest thing to watch.
No, anything with violence against kids it's a big no-no for me.
Before, since these are Christmas set podcasts, did you find it very Christmassy? Was enough Christmas elements?
No, again, I think, you know what, Mike? I think there's two sorts of Christmas films.
Yeah.
Films inherently about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're Christmas films with Santa Claus, like Fab Christmas, like P-N-O-L, in them. Elves, the magic of Christmas, stuff like this. Santa Claus with, what's his name? Tim Allen. Tim Allen. Great film, loved it. Christmas Chronicles on Netflix, really good.
Need to watch that.
Really good, really good. anything like
that. They're bringing out a new one, aren't they?
You said, yeah, I really like that one. I think these are Christmas films. But anything like this, I don't think they're a Christmas film. I think they're a film set at Christmas. This film, if you transplanted it to the summer, the plot line would not
still
change.
Work.
It would still not work. It's why I think Home Alone isn't a Christmas film.
Yeah.
If you say to anyone, say, oh, it's not a Christmas film, 99% of people go, it is a Christmas film for these reasons. And my excuse will always be, if you transplant this film into the summer, will it still work? Mm. Oh, we've forgot our kid. We've got our holiday. Oh, there's some trying to burgle us. Some trying to murder our kid. And it worked.
Yeah.
But no, you know what? With the Christmas, it wasn't there. Because, again, I think it's just a film set at Christmas.
Yeah.
I think it's just a time of year.
I am. With these podcasts, I do have a very thinly... Like, if it's... even briefly kind of mentions Christmas or has a link to Christmas around the time that the film's set, I'll include it because it's, you could technically kind of call it a Christmas movie. Yes, I agree. They're not, you know, they were not necessarily about the spirit of Christmas or about Santa or about, you know, or Hanukkah or any of the other holidays we already mentioned earlier. But I do get it. But I find that some of them, they're a bit more interesting because everyone always bangs on. That's why I do this, is because everyone always bangs on. Watch Amala, watch It's a Wonderful Life. Like, I don't want to watch them.
Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Christmas classic, but let's all admit it's shit.
I fell asleep.
It's not that good.
Yeah.
He didn't make money when it came out. He didn't make money. He should have made money. He made money simply because it's become a Christmas classic.
Yeah.
It's not a good film, really. So.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Awesome film.
But yes, anyway, let's go back to the comments.
Yeah.
Going to Twitter now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 20th Century Geek Pod, another fellow podcaster. Some great stuff he's been doing recently. Really, really enjoying his work on the
Me too.
Satanic Panic.
He's
been doing really interesting because I did a couple of films on two satanic films about satanic
you
stuff.
And your film watching the amount of things you said watching.
Do you watch some weird stuff?
Now we've moved in, I found this out due to the amount of
look
stuff.
At the amount of DVDs I've got, which
it's
is just
not even
weird.
That it's the amount of stuff you recorded on the Skybox.
I watched what did I watch the other day? Wes Craven's Shocker.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting
so
one.
So what are the comments?
Anyway, so 20th Century Geek Pod at 20th Century Geek on Twitter, he says, this film is a really dumb, fun action movie.
Yeah.
Not Shane Black's best, but the cast go along with its absurdity, and it's a good ride.
Yeah.
I have to agree. Jack and the Geekstalk, one another fellow podcast, that's at Jack Geekstalk, they say, I love this film. Gina Davis rocks it. And she certainly does. Like, it's all about Gina Davis. I honestly think if Gina Davis wasn't the lead and Sam Jackson wasn't the supporting character, I don't think it would
it was. It was good casting. I said that's really good. And you'd never really see Gina Davis not. You see, I recognize her face. Went, oh, what's her name again?
I feel like she runs a charity now.
Yeah, she must be in. I don't know.
I think she might do a couple of bits. I'll look her up on IMDb, I'm sure. But I think she's a fantastic actor. And this film is, again, like I said, I think one of the best roles she's ever played.
Yeah.
And I think she's really enjoying, you can tell she's really not chewing the scenery, but really enjoying playing this role and playing the schizophrenic kind of amnesiac kind of elements of the character. So next one is Nate Chatting. So that's at Nate _ Nerd Chat from Nerds Chatting, the podcast, another fellow podcaster. It's one of those gems that seems to have slipped through the cracks in people's consciousness. More people should have seen it and should still see it, but it is dumb. Chefs do that.
Yeah. I say things in what I've said earlier. Like,
yeah.
I remembered it when the car crash happened.
Yeah.
I got a memory back and I was like,
the freaky reindeer.
Falling it slightly a bit and then. When I saw the
are you saying you're like the character that slowly but surely your memory is coming
back. I'm Gina Davis.
You're Gina Davis.
I will be thrown.
You're Sam Kane.
Your head very soon.
Please don't.
Well, I got a PS4 out of it. If
just a PS4. You're not in the will, mate. You're not in my will.
You're not in mine. I might put you down for 1%.
1%.
Yeah, you get 720 quid if I pop a
game. That's all right.
Mate, that's all right.
I'll probably just buy more DVDs.
My life's insured for £72,000.
Great.
I know.
That's all right.
Please don't kill me.
Murder's going to happen. Last one from Twitter is from my biggest fan. I consider my biggest fan. So it's I Am Jack's Musings at I Am Jack's Musings. I like, not love this. Found it a lesser Shane Black offering on a couple of views, but perhaps it's due a rewatch and a reappraisal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think so. Skipping over to Facebook now. I don't know who this is, but Ronaldo Rear has said, watch it on site big.bigmovie24.com.
I wonder if that's a bot.
Yeah, I think maybe that might be a robot or a scammer.
Might be Arnie.
It's Arnie's getting jealous. He wants us to watch. Maybe Samuel Jackson.
Maybe Skynet.
Oh, Skynet.
SnakeNet,
yeah.
According to the new Rick and Morty episode.
SnakeNet?
Yeah, when they're watching the...
Okay. I'm not seeing the full episode, but I'll have to look.
You saw me watching it came in. Obviously, completely legally.
Oh, obviously legal. Yeah. As legal as it gets. It's cool, you know. we've got friends. We've got friends in high places.
Called Amazon for
you. Exactly. So we had Ronaldo Rare said that, so... I wouldn't recommend viewing it on that website because reasons. Because I have a DVD. You can get a DVD. You have a DVD, and we watched it on DVD.
And to be fair, we watched most our stuff completely, fully
legal on Amazon, Netflix.
We're a massive fan of that.
Yeah,
because of all of I say all of us from all and most of my mates now actually being actors, writers, and everything. You've got to support that, don't you?
You've got to support the art, I think.
And I work in one way or another as well.
So I pay for my music, I pay for DVDs and stuff like that. So I try and give a little back. Because
you have a big collection of private DVDs.
Private DVDs for my private viewing alone. In my room, quiet, silent, by myself.
No comment.
Alone. Last comment. So Janine Van Moosel, who's an artist I interviewed at Malta Comic Con, a lovely lady, and she did a mashup of Tigra and Jessica Rabbit for me. Gorgeous bit of artwork. So thank you very much for that, Janine. I haven't already thanked you, and thank you for sending it to this address, my new address, which would have been lost if I hadn't had it sent to you. She just says, I love it.
That it.
I love it.
And you know what? It was decent.
Some of the most comments I've had for a while. So it must be pretty popular.
Choice. You put out a survey, which films we should watch.
Yeah.
And then you was like, you know what? No one's really doing that. Let's just choose this one.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it was good. It was a good choice. But you made that choice.
Yeah, I think the other ones, I put Moonstruck on there, which is kind of a set around Christmas, which is kind of a romance sort of thing. I chose that because Danny Aiello had passed away, and I wanted to kind of celebrate his work. I really like him in Leon as well. Whilst there was Better Watch Out, which I'll get around to eventually, which is kind of a more horrific Home Alone type thing. Like if Home Alone had an R rating, I think that's what this film is. I'm not seeing it. What else did I pick? Ice Harvest is kind of like a heist crime thing with Billy Bob Thornton. And
Not a massive fan of Billy Bob Thornton.
No, not for you. No, personality or just the actor?
Technology.
Fair enough.
God, it just rubs me up the wrong way.
Fair enough. That's fine. And it does that with many people. what was the other one? And Long Kiss Goodnight as well. So all of them included.
It's a good choice. Thank you for choosing it.
I think that was the one. I said you'd enjoy it. And the fact that you'd seen it, I was like, it's a good choice. I really enjoyed that. Highly recommend it to anybody that, obviously all these comments are saying it's great, it's fun, it's dumb, but it's enjoyable. And I think that's the main thing. You know, if you're looking for something a bit different this Christmas, it's not Die Hard, I would go with this. I think it's a cool little, nice.
Yeah. I agree. It was good.
You don't want to watch Die Hard for the 150th time, which I'd understand if you do want to watch it for the 150th time, because it is good. Nobody really hates it, I don't think. But, it is a Christmas film. It's not a Christmas film. That's your decision.
One question in regards to Die Hard.
Yeah.
If Joey and Chandler from Friends love Die Hard, how did they not recognize Bruce Willis as Bruce Willis when he becomes a guest character? Because they love Die Hard. They said it's their favorite film.
Yeah. They would make comment.
They should make comment that Bruce Willis is in their apartment.
And I think that's another podcast for another time.
Yeah.
A lot of massive plot holes in Friends.
Well, you could do that. Not just Friends, just everything.
Top five plot holes.
Plot holes. So many.
I'm sure you could.
If you do that, I would love to be back on.
Right.
We'll watch all of them.
I do thank you for, I'm going to get a bit emotional here now because I've not had the best time recently, and during this December month, I've not been very well. There's been various issues and problems.
A bunch of wimp in the last.
I wouldn't say wimp. I'd say it's a.
I've had a bit of
seasonal affective disorder. I think is the technical term. But I wanted to say, all jokes aside, I do appreciate you being here, and it's nice to come home to somebody because I've been living alone for the last few years. So it is nice to have somebody to come home to and talk through things sometimes, and not even talk through, just kind of sit in the same room. So it's been
the same
nice.
Room.
Just chill.
Womb.
crawling back inside. It's safer in there.
Enough about that.
December can't get you if you're in the womb. It's fine. It's all good.
No, it's good. No, to be fair, I always prefer having a housemate. So it's been a pleasure.
Thank
even
you.
Even with
thank
your
you.
Cod liver oil tablets.
Right. We're not going to get into this.
We're not getting into the
cod liver oil discussion because I'm sick of it. This isn't going to happen. We're gonna end it here. Anyway, I've had a great time. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for joining me on a subject that you didn't particularly choose, but you've embraced it, and we've had a good laugh.
It's been a good one. Happy to be here. Hope to be back one day.
I think you will. I think I've got my technical difficulties all ironed out now. But thank you again. It's been a pleasure. It's been a blast.
My pleasure.
We've probably not talked about the movie probably as much as we should.
I think we talked about it enough because it's a silly action film. Some woman's just trying to get a memory back, rescue a kid eventually, and just save the world.
Sort of like that. Spoilers, she does it. All right. Well, have a ho holiday for the rest of the time. And we'll be back soon with even more podcast stuff with great, dialogue and words that come out of mouths.
You lost yourself there,
didn't you? Yeah, I did. I'm just going to end it now. Not my life, just the podcast. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.